Lord, this morning we come presenting ourselves before your altar. It's a time of transition. It's a time of acceleration in the spirit. We ask, O God, that no one will be left behind. This which you are doing in the body of Christ, to equip her, to empower her, to educate her on the installments that you have put in place for her good, for her prosperity. We ask, oh God, that even in this house and even among them that are hooking up through live streaming, that impartations will begin, that men will be brought into adequate stature to engage the enemy at this critical time, in the name of Jesus. You're welcome. You may be seated. John chapter 8, quickly. We're still on the gift of discernment of spirit. The gift of discernment of spirit. Hallelujah. Are you with me in John chapter 8? There's a great window that opened while I was praying yesterday night. From 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, this window broke open. A massive window of breakthrough in the spirit. Now, I announce to you that anything is possible this morning. Anything is possible. John chapter 8, these are the words of Jesus. Just in case you have a red letter Bible, you find these words in red. Express words of Jesus. Now what did he say? He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Is it NIV that says he speaketh his native language? So he is the author of lies. He trades in deception. He prospers through manipulation. He changes the price tag most of the time. And so when you are dealing with the devil, you must understand that what any utterance he makes, you invert it. That is the truth. Because when he speaks a lie, he is communicating with the instrument of his own invention to establish deception in the hearts of men. Now, hallelujah. This scripture calls the devil the father of lies. If you check in the original language, he's not just the father, but the inventor. He invented it. It's his creation. And he uses that a lot as a tool to have his way in order to make the believers to observe vanities that are lying. Hallelujah. Now listen, there is a Greek word here I need to introduce you to quickly, because it is the heart of this scripture. You know, Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. The word of in Greek is ek. Ek. It's the same word that is in ekliaza. Ek. Called out once. The ek is out. The ek is you were called out from. Ekliaza. That ek means origin. It means the root. It means your source. Now, Jesus has a skillful way of dealing with circumstances. Hallelujah. For instance, if you come to Jesus and you tell Jesus, I am your friend, what he will hear is not, I am your friend. He has capacity to probe into the root of that utterance. And if indeed you are a foe, your extension of the fingers of fraternity will not be accepted, because it proves your advancement right to the very hub of his root. Now, so the word ek there is the source. It means source. It means root. It means origin. It means foundation. Now, so these guys can be involved in doing something that looks positive. They cannot deceive people that have access to the ek. Now, Jesus probes into the foundation. He probes into the root. He probes into the very heart of the substance of a thing, of a matter. Ye are what? Of. Ye are ek. Ye originate from the devil. So anything you try to do here is actually an act of manipulation, because I understand where you derive from. Now, if we were to probe everything around our lives with the principle of ek, origin and foundation, we'll make less mistakes. Because, hallelujah, do you know the reason why that ek is relevant? Is because the father of lies is the devil. When he speaks lies, he's communicating in his invention, in his native language. Now, so if you are going to deal with the devil, you have to tackle him beyond the utterance that he brings into the very source of what he's speaking. That is what discernment is about. The Bible says that when the Messiah comes, he will not judge after the sight of his eyes. He will not judge after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness, he will judge and make war. He has a parameter of accessing things beyond the realm of face value. Please help me tell your neighbor, ek. I've seen people in meetings. I've seen very good looking people. What? In fact, if you see them, wonderful. But when we probed in, there was a demon, a serpent lying in there. Why? Because in engaging Satan, you must understand that he uses the instrument of lies, of deception. So we must have something that can probe into matters beyond the way they look at face value. If we don't have that facility at work in the body of Christ, then obviously at some point we'll embrace something that is not God. It's not every teaching that is from Jesus. It's not every utterance that is from Jesus. We need to pray desperately today and ask God to bring discernment into his church. There are some levels of discernment that we can get if you are exposed to accurate theology. There is a basic level of discernment you can get. Hallelujah. But there are several levels of discernment that you cannot access just because you are theologically balanced and you understand the mind of God concerning the matter as it is presented in the scriptures. There are levels of discernment you cannot get just because you are biblically educated. You need to go spiritual. You need to function in the gift of discernment of spirit. Hallelujah. So those two levels of discernment must be established in the body of Christ, so that we can probe things beyond their manifestation at face value, into their root, into their origin, and into their source. Because when Satan communicates, he communicates using lies as his native language, and we must have a tool that goes beyond what appears at face value. Now, you will be underestimating the devil if you believe too much. You need to probe things. The Bible says, test all things and hold fast unto that which is good. Because anything you believe will have implications on your life. And so he said, before you release your capacity to believe, which is a program. Once you believe something, a program has been initiated. Can you reduce the volume a little? If you believe something, a program has been initiated. In order for you not to become a victim of believing that which is not accurate, the Bible says, test all things. Hallelujah. For a minister, a preacher, an accurate preacher should not be afraid for you to come close to him, for you to visit his house and probably spend two nights there
and see him in his simplicity. I hope you know it's all this bodyguard movement, all this squadron movement that has helped counterfeits to prosper. By the time we come to your house and we stay with you for 2 days, we will know what you are. Those days in the early church, if you invite a minister, he will stay in your own house, not in the hotel. He will stay in your house. And should I go further? I think we need to go back to that level. So, by the time you interact at close range, you will know. It will be easier for you to know. But these days, we have quadroned everything. We have blocked everything. He has four security details. There's a status car in between, supportive vehicles. Even you can't even touch the vehicle. So a lot of deception can be kept undercover. The principles we are subscribing to actually makes it difficult for us to discern the truth. When the simplicity of Christ is taken away, there are a lot of things that are lost along. We had a program like this, we organized a program like this, and so we didn't have money to lodge our guests in the hotel, so I had to come to my house. I noticed there was a damsel in my household. A damsel that had endless diaries of dreams and visions. That was visiting the guest minister. She will be there for 3 hours, for 4 hours. Then we stop inviting him. This one happened. Okay, what if it were a hotel? I had an invitation to Malawi. So I went on net and found out about Malawi. I saw the AIDS percentage of the population. That was suggestive of the activities that were most predominant. So when the pastor called and said, do you want to stay in my house or in the hotel? I said, I don't know the way to the hotel. Let's stay in your house. Because, hey, hallelujah. Those guys are wild. They are not like us. Oh my Jesus. So we had to perch with the pastor. That's how we became friends. If I had stayed in the hotel, maybe it would have been very formal. But we stayed at home. You know, then the temperature was 9 degrees. It was colder than any AC that you can have here. Oh my. It's through that relationship that a lot of my friends went to Malawi. Because I stayed in this house. When we started interacting, you now saw that. Wow, we were Christians. So the cauldron of big man of God was removed, and then Christians began to interact. The fellowship was we had sweeter fellowship at home than we had in the crusade. Jesus said, ye, I have seen you. You are aware of your father, the devil. That's your source. So discernment probes into the source. It probes into what? The origin. That's the nature of discernment. Somebody can come here and he's singing so wonderfully. A man that has discernment is not concerned about how sweet the voice is sounding. He's reaching into the spirit that is responsible for the sound. If you trail every preacher like that, you will find out that maybe the number of preachers you can hear will reduce. Have you ever been for a very big meeting and you went there and what was happening was not speaking to your spirit? But the reason why you remained was because there was a crowd. It means you are a hypocrite. You don't understand heck. Some of us have grown beyond the psychology of a crowd. And we have discovered that in our day, Jesus is more and more, less and less in a crowd. So we go beyond what manifests at face value. And we probe into the nature of the utterance, the nature of the manifestation, the nature of the activity. That is discernment. Can we take another scripture to refresh our memory before we continue the journey? Second scripture will be Psalms 55, verse 21. Just to refresh, these scriptures are to refresh our memory. and to entrench in us an understanding of the nature of discernment. Before we get back to our course, Psalms 55, I guess. Psalms 55, verse 21. He said, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. That is, the utterance, the lyrics, was what? Smoother. Have you met a guy like that? If you are not well armed as a damsel, if you meet the guy with this trait, most of you will be disverging before you realize what has happened. The guy that never gets angry is always right. Oh my God, he wears a smile. Jesus. He has worked on it for 12 years. Glory, hallelujah. Smoother than butter. Are you still here? The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war is in his heart. So what was manifesting in his mouth was different from what was in the heart. And then you fell for him because of what came from the mouth. It took 5 years before the war, when he became his captive. Then he unveiled the war that was in his heart. That actually the reason why he came for you was because your grandfather offended his grandfather in the market. And the war has been passed on from generation to generation. You, a novice, came and heard butter utterance. And you could not discern a warfare that was brooding, looking for a place of expression to bring injury to you. The heart was in war, but the words were as smooth as butter. So if we lack the capacity to trace what is in the heart, then we are doomed. Hallelujah. Part B of it says, and his words were softer than oil. It was lubricating. He has every right word for every right moment. If it's a time of mourning, he knows how to organize his lyrics. And he comes with a touch of emotion. He suits the very depth of your sorrow. Gives you that kind of lubrication that removes the stranglehold of mourning. Hallelujah. He said the words were what? Softer than oil. Yet, they were drawn swords. Now, if Baba does not help us. The other day I was counseling. A lady wanted to get married. And in the spirit, I knew they wanted to use her for sacrifice. She said, I love you. In fact, what he was saying was, what anything you will say here now will not amount to anything. Until she got married. Then the war that was in the heart began to find expression. The people that married her have been looking for somebody from that tribe for sacrifice. Yes. According to the permutations and the demands of the oracle. It is blood from a particular tribe that will satisfy the oracle, the altar. So they advanced towards that tribe in form of marriage. And when the lady came for counseling, what did she say? I love you. What did they use on her? Those words like oil. Oh, yeah. May Baba help us. May Baba help us to go beyond the words. And to touch the texture of the warfare that is held up in the heart. The gift of discernment of spirit gives us capacity to probe into the motives of men. Most times what we see are the activities, but we don't see the motive. Hallelujah. I think life will be safer when we can touch the motive of every man's heart. For instance, if you see Pastor Ike, the way he is, as militant as he is, you not know he's a tender man at heart. So you will miss a good friend like this because of some of us, our face look like Niger Delta Avengers. But you see, there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. It's when you come close that you find the sweetness. Meanwhile, there are guys that are sweet on the outside. They know they are sweet. The golden frame, the delicate balance. And then they have trained their words to carry sweetness like oil. And when they pour it out, they know how to put pressure on the words. The words are animated. Hallelujah. And I've seen a lot of ladies brought into bondage by words smoother than oil. Such that the lady's facility of discernment is shut down because of the buttered words. When marriage is contracted, then we now have a warfare. A warfare that will take years to undo. Just because we could not probe into the motive at the time when it mattered most. Now those two scriptures are to bring us back on track. You remember where we stopped yesterday? We defined the gift of discernment. And I've said that every time that God begins to do a new thing, He begins to break out in a new way. The manifestations of God are as deep as God. We have not seen the depth of the manifestations of God yet. Every form of manifestation of God that we have seen is that measure that God was able to smuggle in for that particular time because of the nature of the equivalent nature of the onslaught of the enemy in that age and in that time. But you see, don't be confused. The manifestations of God as deep as God. We have not seen the best of any expression of God yet. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I know that William Branham, in meetings, he used to call the address of people's houses, used to call their names. Sometimes it goes deep into their lives. And I think, according to records, him and Babalola have gone farthest in the operation of the gift of word of knowledge. Him and Babalola, those two people. We are yet to see people explore the corridors of the gift of word of knowledge much more than William Branham and Babalola as he ever did. However, that was not the best in the gift of word of knowledge, because every manifestation of God is as deep as God. This is a day that the devil has decided to manifest an onslaught. And I said yesterday that the scripture that says when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall raise a standard against him. That standard is the prophetic. It is the prophetic that can probe into a matter and see the motive. It can disclose dishonest activities. You see, the nature of the devil is deception. Lies are his creation. There is product. They carry his patent. Just in case you lied, you are actually distributing a product that the devil has patent over. Hallelujah. It's not your product. You are just a distributor. So when the devil is lying, he's actually speaking his native language. That's his creation, his invention. And if that is the devil's default mode, his default mode is lies. His default mode is deception. His invention is deception. His creation is lies. So he has walked in that level of deception much more than any other creature under heaven. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And you need to handle the devil. And it happens to be that the devil also speaks, just like God speaks. In fact, the devil speaks more than God does. Because he needs to tell a lot of lies in order for you to despise the truth that God has ministered to your soul. In order for you to observe a lying vanity, the liar must have manufactured a string of lies, a sequence of lies in a logical pattern that appeals to your mental faculty. Hallelujah. So that you can embrace that and think it is true while you avoid the mercy that God has spoken into your life in terms of strategic directive information and wisdom. Are you still with me? Now, if we are contending with such an enemy, the only way to make that enemy incapacitated is if we have the capacity to see into the root of what is displaying outside. The prophetic is that standard that God raises against the enemy when he intends to sweep everything like a flood. We have experienced the kind of setback that we have experienced as a body because the prophetic has not been recognized, the prophetic has not been developed in the Nigerian church. All right? We understand the evangelical ministry. We understand the pastoral ministry. We have also come to understand the ministry of the teacher. But unfortunately, in the prophetic, hallelujah, hallelujah, it's not as if there have not been accurate prophets before this time, or they are not accurate prophets now. But their numbers were depleted because of the trials and the temptations and the persecutions and the pressures that accompanied that line of ministry. The numbers were depleted. Some of them had to boycott the office and to begin to masquerade like an evangelist, masquerade like pastor. Hallelujah. And so the office was not as robust as it ought to have been in the church in Nigeria to bring education from that altar to the body, so that the body will be acquainted with the specifics that are attached to that manifestation of Christ. So we have two extreme dispositions to the operation of the prophetic office. It's either we switch off totally or we defy the prophet. And because of the honor that prophets have received, even such as are not prophets have gone to strange quarters to draw powers from spirits of divination in order for them to attract that honor as a means of translating it to financial gain. So the office was bastardized before it became popular. Hallelujah. I'm not here. But you see, we cannot do without that office. The eternal God, the all-wise God, knew that a time like this will come, where the discernment of the average believer is low, and Satan, we almost have free access without any form of check. He knew that a day like this will come. And when this kind of time comes, what is required is hybrid education, so that the church will mature and come to a point, hallelujah, where they can accord the honor that is due to the prophetic office. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise a standard against him. So let's go back to our script. We said discernment of spirit is the divine ability given to distinguish one error from truth. What is error? What is error? Who has a microphone there? The second microphone. What is error? Who knows what an error is? Now, let me tell you a little about the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, generally, 1 plus 1 equals 2 is correct. 1 plus 1 equals 7 is correct. 1 plus 1 equals 5 is correct. 1 plus 1 equals 3 is correct. All of them are correct. But only one is accurate. What I mean is that only one is God. The rest, there are other spirits that is their code. But no one is wrong. So it is not wrong, it is error. You know, when God told Moses, it took him up in the revelation and showed him a tabernacle in heaven. And gave Moses the responsibility to build according to the pattern that he saw on the mount. I don't have so much time for us to do some critical Bible study. You know the proof that Moses built according to pattern was that after the building, something will come and fill the building. If that which fills the building is exactly that which is in the realm that he caught the vision, then his building was accurate. Are you with me? But if he had adjusted something in the construction, that which filled the tabernacle in heaven would not be able to push itself into that construction, even though it will make attempt to fill it, but it will not be able, because there's a distortion of the dimensions. Hallelujah. So that which is in heaven will not be able to fill it. It will go back to heaven. But I assure you, there is something else in the realm of the spirit that your construction will be accurate for. So it's not right or wrong. Are you with me? Yeah, you're not with me. Okay, let me come to the one that will make you fear so that you will understand. When witches do astral traveling, there is an orientation that the body must be before they travel. And if you come and change the orientation, there will be a difficulty to come back. The original thing that left the place because of the distortion will not be able to enter back. Good. So that was why Moses was instructed to build according to pattern, because there is an immortal thing that is supposed to be trapped in that tabernacle. So what an error does is that it mutilates a pattern a little. Just a little. And when that little mutilation has entered into that pattern, it can no longer play host to the immortal dimension that it was built to host originally. Something else will take the space. Because if you notice yesterday, are you here? If you notice yesterday, we read that the spirit of the Lord was withdrawn from Saul. And instantly, an evil spirit from the Lord had to take that place. The reason was because there was a disposition of life, a construction of life that guy had sustained, that the Spirit of God could no longer be factored with him. The Spirit had to lift his life. I hope you know your lifestyle is a construction. It's a construction. There are some deliberate things that you can do that will trap the Spirit of God on your life. And increasing measures of his presence will be domiciled on your life. But there's a lifestyle that you can subscribe to. Those measures will begin to deplete to a point that the Spirit of God himself can no longer identify with the shape. He's suffering because he is crippled inside of the vessel. The dimensions are no longer accurate. So he will have to withdraw so that he will not suffer. Meanwhile, that mutation is accurate for another spirit. And that spirit comes and is at home. Please help me tell your neighbor, there's no vacuum in the spirit. Now, so let me take you further. There's a man in the scripture called Balaam. You know Balaam? So the Bible speaks about the way of Balaam in the Old Testament. The way of Balaam. Now, you see, whenever you hear the Bible speak of the way, are you here? It's just like if you are admitted into Benue State University, for instance, and you are given physics, it means you will graduate, if you graduate, as a physicist, because you have already entered a way. Are you with me? Now, so when the scripture says the way of Balaam is a way, is a path. If you begin to subscribe to that path, every wise man should be able to know the outcome. Oh, okay. Now, the Bible speaks about the way of the righteous. There's a way. So it means that if you have chosen to be a righteous man, to walk in the principles of righteousness, which is no longer popular, actually. There is an expected end for everybody that subscribes to that way. Even if you have not reached the end, we can predict that if you are a good student of this way, you should arrive at... You get it? Have you heard of this? The scripture speak about the way of the ungodly. You are not the first ungodly man. There have been ungodly people, and the science of that part has is been judged already. So when you decide that I want to be ungodly now, it's not new. We say it's an established technology. We know where you will end up. Do you understand that? Now, so Balaam was a prophet, but he decided to subscribe to a way. Other prophets before him, none of them, even though they knew that it was possible, that way was possible, all of them were threatened by the intensity of God on their heart. So they could not pioneer that way. It was Balaam that what? Pioneered that way. So if we want to discuss that way, we use the life of Balaam as a guinea pig to give us insight into what will befall anyone that decides to subscribe. Have you ever gone on the internet and they say subscribe? The person that is asking you to subscribe knows the possibilities are available to you on the strength of your subscription. Right? Now, so Balaam, among prophets, pioneered a way. What it means is that he was the first prophet that decided to go the way of gain. And he thought that gain was godliness. That in the direction where you find gain, that's where God is. May the Lord give you understanding. I know you are becoming uncomfortable. Maybe you went somewhere with money to give so that you will collect prophecy. The person that is contracting has set up that kind of platform that makes the prophetic compatible with money. Eh? That person is in a way, and he was not the first one to invent that way. It's a way of... You are following me, I tell you. See, names with head, but may your brain begin to work now. Boo, let the website. Now, so, that way that Balaam pioneered, because what informed his decision, even though God had told him, don't go, what informed his decision for him eventually going was because he perceived that some gain was at the end of the trip. Now, you see, Balaam was a special kind of prophet. Even in the company of prophets, when we begin to grow in the prophetic, you begin to see that we have different powers. All the prophets are revelatory, they are insightful, they can prophesy. All the prophets can do that. But you see, as we grow in the prophetic, everyone begins to locate his unique strength in the prophetic. For Balaam may pray for you. His prayers may not be answered. That's not his strength. But it is sure that if Balaam shall curse you, you are cursed. I'm saying even among prophets there, when you mature, you departmentalize. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. All right. Any true apostle doubles as a prophet. Any true apostle. Now, the other day we were going for land deliverance in Kogi State. It was obvious that the one among us that had grace for land deliverance was Pastor Ike. So when we discovered it, we now told him, lead us. Hey, he invoked some things. Hey! Well, that's for another day. That's for another day. He did some strange things, and there were results instantly. You see, that's his horn is in that area. All right? Undubisi can give everybody here a personal prophecy. He can start prophesying, and he will go around. He will still. Sometimes he will just call me for 2 hours. He's prophesying. When God speaks to me, 3 days later, this guy will just call and say, I was praying, and God. It's not as if he's not strong in his own right. Not as if he can't do land deliverance. But Pastor Ike has a special line of grace in that area. He has a special line of grace in personal prophecy. And so if God speaks to you and you are confused about what exactly God has said, are you here? It's a good time to call Ndubisi. Maybe something dropped. Because he is, his own unique aspect of prophetic oppression is in the area of personal prophecy. You understand that? Hallelujah. We all have difference. For Balaam, if he curses you, he's cursed. It was on the strength of that horn that he was contacted for that project. That we have heard of your reputation. Just in case they want to lure you into the way of Balaam, is that your horn? So, please help me tell your neighbor, watch your horn. So, it was, first of all, the way. Yes, it was the way first. Then, it became the error of Balaam. Became an error. Then, in the book of Revelation, it became a doctrine. Let's start from the beginning. It was first, what? A way. This way was a deviation from the norm. This way was a departure from the established protocol. Hallelujah. This way created an error. That is to say that everybody that descends on this path will have a fractured life. You will miss the purpose of God for you. So it became an error and eventually became a doctrine, something that is taught in the body of Christ. So if we are going to find deliverance in the body of Christ, we have to check the doctrines that have been taught. Because some of those doctrines came from ways. Some of those doctrines grew from errors. And somebody is trying to legalize something that is foreign to the established protocol. The fact that it's a teaching doesn't mean it came from Jesus. And it's the gift of discernment of spirit that can help us decipher between error and truth. Because ways can become errors. And if errors are not checked, they become doctrines. Can you see that? And then, unfortunately, for the man that doesn't have the gift of discernment of spirit, he just picks that the doctrine and begins to walk in it. That doctrine is a program. A program that will begin to boot. And when it has finished booting, it will transport you to the way. Yes. It will lead you to that error. And then you are caged in that doctrine. Meanwhile, that doctrine did not come from Christ. The doctrine is the product of a way that God did not sanction. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Okay. You are with me now. Now, I said yesterday that in Europe, currently, there is what we call a hyper-grace movement. They have taken grace out of the context of the economy of God. So we need to talk about grace a little. The script is so long. If we start dabbling into grace, we may exhaust all the time. What exactly is grace? No, from the context of the eternal purpose, what is grace? The eternal purpose, hallelujah, is what Paul called the hope of your calling, the hope of his calling. It means his calling. He's calling you. What he's calling you into has a hope in it. It has a destination that is hopeful. It has a destination that has an expectation that he hopes for. Are you with me? We capture the context of the eternal purpose is captured in the book of Ephesians. When Paul went for honeymoon in the wilderness of Arabia, you know, Most of us gave our life to Christ. We didn't go for honeymoon. That's why you still have a hearing problem. You don't know the voice of God. But Paul went for 3.5 years. After his honeymoon with Jesus. Oh my. Now, I don't have time to show you 17 things he came back with. He literally initiated a new apostolic order on the strength of his honeymoon. I will show you what Peter said when he was old. That the things that Brother Paul has spoken, they were difficult to understand. The great apostle said Paul's own. It was what? Well, because he went on honeymoon. When he came back from that honeymoon, he became a colossus. He found immortal things. He found spiritual things. He spoke about heavenly things. He spoke about mystical things. He spoke about new things. I don't have time for that. That was why he had the authority to give us perspective for the entire New Testament, most of the New Testament economy. He was the one that revealed the destiny and the purpose of the church. People like Peter preached, but they did not see where God was headed. They prophesied. People like Agabus prophesied about cities, about economies, about financial seasons, but they did not see where God was taking the church to. It was when God brought back Paul from Arabia that he spoke about our corporate destiny. It was Paul that spoke about the church universal, the church global, the church eternal in the heavens, and the church local. It was on the strength of the philosophy of Paul that the book of Revelation was captured. If you don't know what Paul has spoken, because those things that Paul said were captured in symbols and pictures in the book of Revelation. This Paul, I say with me, this Paul, when he came back from Arabia, he dropped prayer points with the churches he planted. That they should pray that God should give him utterance. Because there were revelations he had, he didn't have utterance to communicate. And I can show you from the book of Acts, there were several revelations. It took 17 years before he had utterance. One of which was the entire book of Ephesians. In the gospel of God, the book of Romans is the beginning of that gospel. The book of Romans can identify that you used to be a sinner, you gave your life to Christ, these were the things that happened, this is the new regime, this is the economy, this is the new reality, and this is the path of spiritual progress. 12 points on the path of spiritual progress. So, the book of Romans is a path. Hallelujah. The book of 1 Corinthians is an attempt to reconcile our propensity for carnality with the demand of the Spirit and how the transition takes place from a carnal man to a spiritual man. The place of doctrine, the place of teaching, and the place of guidance in the Holy Spirit, so that God can administer the debt, the verdict of death on the cross upon the elements of the fallen man in order to reap unto himself an entire new creation that nothing of this world can lay claim to. It's captured in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's why you will see all kinds of sin, all kinds of that, and the prescription that Paul gave to each condition. By the time we get to the book of 2 Corinthians, he is talking about a fraction of that his encounter he had in Arabia and how it's supposed to impact upon church life. Hallelujah. When you move and you go to books like Galatians is a friend of the book of Genesis. Galatians actually is predicated upon the contract that God made with Abraham, that heritage, that portal, that website that was open, which finds fulfillment in Christ Jesus and finds realization in the Spirit of God, is captured. The sequence of truth is consistent. By the time you go to the book of Philippians, you will see how that Jesus has attained the highest honor. Colossians actually reveals the office of Jesus has been higher than every other office in the universe. It is unto him that administration is committed to. So if God wants to do something, he has to depend on the office of Jesus to get that thing done. And if we want to reach God, we can't reach God directly. We have to reach the office of the Christ before we can access the Father, making Jesus the most important personality of the Godhead. And you must understand the significance of that structure. It was designed like that from eternity before the foundations of the earth, that the Son, that the Christ will be preeminent in all things. It was a design. See, I can go on and on, but in the book of Ephesians, that's the book that Paul had to ask for utterance. He drew prayer points. Because there were encounters he had received that he could not communicate. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's define grace from that. Are you still following me? Alright, so Ephesians chapter 1. We'll define grace from that point. Then I will show you the hyper grace movement. You will see that this is a way. This is an error that has become a doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will also show you the holiness movement. There's a way in it. Because the way the holiness movement was structured, it was teaching of holiness outside of Christ. So that holiness evolved a format of attaining holiness which was on the strength of dead works. It was somebody's error that became a doctrine. I speak in parables. Hallelujah. You will find out that what I'm saying is true. But you may not like me, but I'm doing God's work. I wanted to strike, but because you are suspecting me now, let me tell you something. Have you taken time to look at Piatin's prophecy about Boko? Have you looked at it? You know what I'm talking about. There is a preacher in Benue State that is a direct son of Paelti. In fact, according to records, he had more time with Elton at his older age. So Elton disclosed the content of his heart to him. And on the strength of the fact that this preacher had the gift, he is called as a teacher. There was an expectation that Baba had that through this teacher, you'll be able to bring that burden. That's his ministry, because Elton's burden was revival. He was sent to prepare the way for a move of God. A prophetic grace that was upon him was to conscientize territories of their part as corporate personas in the move of God that will engulf Nigeria, and the strategic placement of Nigeria in God's scheme of things in the economy for Africa and Europe. This man received those oracles from that great prophet. Hallelujah. Now, my question is, the prophecy was clear that the church in Benue will be a warrior church. And that is how we are going to enter into our heritage. It was supposed to be a system that is intercessory specified, intercessory oriented. But instead of that, what was developed was a discipleship floor, where emphasis was in leaders, raising leaders that are in conformity with several principles of the Word of God. So people are enlightened to understand the flesh, self, and all of that, which are critical to working with the Holy Ghost. But you see, there's no way you can deal with the flesh by doing Bible study in the flesh, on the subject of the flesh. It is a matter of intercession. It is the Holy Spirit that applies the verdict on our falling tendencies and purges us, so that instead of works, we cultivate fruit. Yes, we cultivate fruit. Now, so the whole ministry now is about talk, teaching, and there's no prayer. Such that the disciples that rise from that place are the ones that fight revival anywhere there's a spark. Have you seen it? Okay. Oh, you are not here. I speak in parables. At what point did it become that? Because there is no revival in view in that system. That's the truth. But you don't like what I'm saying, but that's the truth. And let me prophesy to you, revival will not come from that system. I've seen that one. In case you don't know. No. Meanwhile, that was the man that received the entire texture of the heart of his father. How did we become like that? It was what? It was a way. It was a way. That way was what killed the SU revival. That way. It's still part and parcel of every ministry that has a root to that movement. Because something that the devil put in place was not checked. There was no prophet. The devil has an eye, a very strong eye. He can see 35 years. He knows the seeds to sow now that we wreck everything that we claim that we are doing. Should I tell you something again? You will not like it. Any move that does not survive 40 years will not be seen. Because 40 is generation. I hope you know FCS died before it reached 40 years. Have you seen what it's like now? It's an organism. Meanwhile, most of us here are products of it. But you see, it did not reach 40 years. There was a way that was carved out of the protocol. There are easier things than prayer in ministry. There are easier things. And there's a temptation for us too. Oh boy. But the way of the prophets have already been judged. That's why Elijah established a school. Because he knew that the heritage of the things that God has built into him are like to be us. So he wanted to build those structures in the heart of men. I speak in parables. Because when I went to the university, people that were trained in issues of revival were the ones that fought revival. Yes. They were all Bible study. All study without prayer. Which was the life of Paertin himself. The only disciple of Paertin that carried prayer to the end was a Dausa. Was the one that lived, was a true heir of the man's spirit. The church of Benue, according to God's design, was supposed to be a warrior church. Just in case you are a pastor. We will be subscribing to a way that will lead to an error. And a doctrine that will cage people, generations to come. If we depart from the legacy of the accurate fathers. The Dausa was the only one that held prayer to the end. Today prayer is not relevant. It's not a doctrine. The Dausa was the one that will come and furnish a place and put rug. And say any pastor that cannot pray for 2 hours should go and look for another work. And he went to Yonggi Cho's ministry and came back. He said, We don't pray in Africa. And when the Pentecostals went on survey, the true spirit of the apostles, they found it on Idahosa. And that was why they wanted to make him the first pope. And the true spirit of the apostles, according to the scriptures, they found it on Idahosa. In all the continents of the world. It means there is something about the apostolic that will rise from the soil of Nigeria. That guy was not a foreign prophet. It was an homegrown apostolic voice. He rose from the soil of Nigeria to shock the world with power and with the authority of the apostolic office. I don't know what you are seeing. I don't know. Maybe what you are seeing is the flamboyance of ministry. Maybe what you are seeing are the cars. The first apostles, they don't have cars. What you are seeing is a way that will lead to an error. And when you teach from that point, you will put everybody you teach under bondage. And so, in order for us to do a very good job, we need to check doctrine so that we can probe its sources. Because it is where it is coming from that it will take people to. The gift of discernment of spirit differentiates between error and truth. In my own opinion, you cannot study the Bible apart from the Holy Spirit and be accurate. you will generate a philosophy that kills. Because the letter killeth. It is the spirit that giveth life. We are people in the body of Christ that God has honored with authority. Hallelujah. But you see, I know a young preacher, although it's not my age mate, he's old, older than me, but he's still young. He accessed God on his knees. After accessing God on his knees, and God planted him in the city of Abuja, he went and subscribed to Ways. Ways. And the time he went to subscribe, the immortal material that those ministries were managing had lifted. But probably he was excited about the infrastructure that the ministries had. See, if your heart likes anything other than Christ, you will build that thing with all of your endowment. I spoke down to wise men. I'm just showing you the corridors where we need discernment. Because a believer without discernment, a preacher without discernment, most of what we call Bible school today are doctrines, teachings that evolve from errors. Because the encounters that the people had before they started this ministry, the things they teach today cannot link you to the encounter. It means it's a different teaching. Someone that used to pray for 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours for years is running 7 services. What can it teach you in any of those services that will move you to pray for 10 hours? The people that taught them how to pray did not only teach them from the pulpit, they went to fasting with them. No, the flesh doesn't like prayer. If you find any man that prays, there was somebody that sat on him that changed his leg to the altar. When he tried to escape and he could not deliver himself, he decided to rest. The flesh is stubborn. On Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Friday, it is stubborn. You will do something else apart from pray, I assure you. And what you will evolve will be a way. You might discover that there are some easier things that you can do that will bring you money other than the reading. The apostles say we will not but give ourselves to the ministry of the word and pray. It's not that they were not tempted to leave that premise, but they stayed. It's because they stayed that we have this legacy. And people that followed that path, they became colossuses. Like Paetti, he followed that path to the end. As I just spoke in parables, wise men were here. But I was on route Ephesians 1 before I went there. To define grace. To define grace. Now give me some time. In the next 15 minutes I'll be done. Then the next instructor will come on. We'll continue in the evening again. Hallelujah. Paul, I don't want to rush it so that it will enter your bones to sleep in. Because you are the only hope that the body of Christ has now. Until I stayed in Lagos for 6 years, I thought that Lagos was the armory of the church. That if all of us, the Boko Haram clears us and only Lagos is standing, Lagos will replenish that which is lost. Until I went to Lagos, I saw it was a forest. One day I was in the midst of it and I knew I was in a jungle. I cried to Jesus. You leave your house to buy toothpaste at the supermarket opposite the road. You see ladies with pants. All of them, they are singing church song. Then I knew the name of the city was Babylon. There are a lot of amen. May God succeed with you and me. In the name of Jesus. All right, Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus. You know why I'm doing this scripture? Just to define grace. Just to define it. All right? Define grace. And then it's when I've defined grace I can tell you what hyper grace is. Because the movement now that is from the pit of hell sweeping across Europe is the hyper grace movement. And there are some preachers in this town that went there for tutelage and came back. People like Abed Amina. Those are people that are guilty of doctrinal diseases in the current time. I have to mention the name because that practice has made him not made his operations no longer to be private. Those are the first people that went to receive that to bring it here. But the move is not strong here, but in Europe, it has taken over Christianity. That's why I'm saying we are the custodians of the armory to protect the faith that was once handed over to the saints. Just a quick definition. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The permutation begins from verse 4. I don't have time for verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Say, according as he has chosen us in him. The word chosen there, chosen, choose, is an act of the will. And the context is God that chose us. That means it's a manifestation of his sovereignty. So our being chosen is on the strength of divine election, not because of your impute was not required. According as he has chosen not in him before the foundation of the world. His choice of us took place before this existence began. The purpose for which we were chosen is a hope. Are you with me? You are not with me. Please stay with me. The purpose for which he chose us, even before we manifested in time, it was a hope he had. A hope that will be separated unto him. Even though he's making us a free moral agent, we will not live, choose what is not him. So he created us and chose us in him with a hope that we will choose to live for him. Are you here? Alright, so you hope. Now, are you seeing the building? The shape is coming out. With a hope that will live for him. That means his expectation. The economy of God was designed with a view that we will live for him, not for ourselves. It means that if a Christian comes into Christ and eventually decides to remain in Christ, but he doesn't want to live for God, that hope has been defeated in his life because he is not reasonable. So that which God intends to do through that life will be truncated because that hope was not realized in him. See, so the hope was that we will be holy. Holy means separated unto God. That means our definition will not derive from ourselves, but our definition will be derived from the fact that we are lost in God. So God is the one that gives us our definition. You may call yourself an accountant. That is your job. But you need to know your work is different from your job. Your job is your work is your purpose. And your purpose is in Christ. And it happens to be that you will seek Christ. You will be separated unto Christ to find that work. It is when you have worked in your work that you can manifest your work on your job. That is the only way you can relate to your job accurately. So he created us with, in Lagos, a man believes that he's working for God because he's in First Bank. His job is the reason why he's living. so that you can have money to give to church. So such a man, in order to keep such a man running, you have to lie to him. And I will show you the first lie that was told. The lie had to do with grace. Are you with me? Let me press further. Are you here? All right. So, it is by grace, amen, that you are saved. It is by grace that you became a citizen of heaven. Your nationality is of heaven. Are you with me? You died with Christ by grace. You were buried by grace. You were raised from the dead with Christ by grace. You are not believing. All right. See. This is this guy's pen. I put his pen in the Bible. And I take the Bible to Kano. Where would the pen be? So by an act of God's authority, he put you in Christ. So when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ resurrected, you resurrected. When Christ ascended, you ascended. And all of this was a work of grace, not your work. It was God's work. Do you get that? Good. So your participation in heaven today, you are a citizen of heaven now. That's a work of grace. You could not go to heaven by yourself. It's a work of grace. It's not something you paid for. I need to balance scripture so that you will understand what I'm talking about. You will not go to heaven because you refuse to wear a ring. You're already a citizen of heaven now because of grace. And if you are going to have a destiny in heaven, it's because of grace. Because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did. There is nothing you will do or ever do that can qualify you for that heaven. I need to put that one in place. Number two. Hallelujah. You need further proof. Okay. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the foundation. Our works are the building. It said, take heed how you build. For no other foundation can any man lay, which is Jesus Christ. It is your works that will be tested with fire. Hallelujah. It's not your foundation. The foundation that is Christ has already been tested. You can't lose that foundation. Except you decide to consciously rebel against God, which is a possibility. It's a choice. So that foundation that you have, which is Christ Jesus, qualifies you for participation in heaven. Did you get that one? Okay. Your work of holiness. Are you seeing here? Your work of holiness is service. Not foundation. Did you get it? Yes. It's your service. Because the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of... What does service do? Service is the basis for your reward. And I don't want to be in heaven without a reward. Because it's possible for you to be in heaven without a reward. But your being in heaven is not your making. Your being in heaven is Jesus' making. All you had to do to subscribe to what was available in Jesus Christ was to believe in the work of the cross. How did you become born again? You accepted that he was Lord and that he raised from the dead. Huh? Part of the articles of your belief is that he is immortal. That means death did not hold him. So you believed that he is suffering, and you confessed that he is immortal. Confessing that he is immortal gives you access to the immortal realm. That's why the Holy Spirit came to tabernacle in you, because the Holy Spirit is immortal. The Bible reveals that anyone that does not have the Holy Spirit in his heart is not of Christ. That means if right here you are genuinely born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. And if you die, you will die with the Holy Spirit in your heart. And that is the reason why you will experience the resurrection and the life. Did you get it? There are also seven things in addition that I cannot explain now. Those seven things are captured in the parables in the book of Matthew. I can't explain this one. But did you get this simple permutation? Okay, now this is what happened. Somebody died and claimed that he went to hell and came back with a doctrine. That if you want to go to heaven, no, stop wearing a ring. Now, wait, calm down. Are you? Was it together? Subscribe to holy dressing. Now, let us check what that person is saying. Is it scripture? Or it is the product of a doctrine that was a result of an error, that was a result of a way. You get that? That's how deadly doctrine is. That lady was prophesying from the devil, because that is not the position of scripture about our destiny in heaven. Our participation in heaven is altogether a function of the gift that we receive from Christ Jesus. She came now with a prescription of works that we need to do in order to receive something that we received by grace through Christ Jesus. That doctrine is from the pit of hell. It is after that doctrine came into the body of Christ that Christians became afraid of whether, they were unsure of whether they were saved or not. Meanwhile, the work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is assurance and rest. So that one that brought turbulence, uncertainty, and is a work of the devil. It's actually a ministry of the devil that was facilitated through that utterance in the body of Christ. And when I rose up here and used the Bible to show that the lady didn't speak from God, many pastors from Abuja had to call me to insult me. That there's darkness. You are sentenced to darkness. You know why it didn't work? Because I was saying the truth. Yes, I preached and I cursed that book, those books they were selling. Because the guys selling the books were the ones cursing me. They bought Jeep. They were the only ones not preparing for heaven. They were buying Jeep with the proceeds of the book and choking everybody with a false sense of security. That was when I knew we had no foundation in the Christian faith. That's where my fight began. Do you get that? Holiness is not a set of rules. Let's see it. He said that, hallelujah. Okay, let's go. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What makes us separate unto God and to live for God is because we have come into love for him. So the motivation for holiness is love for God. It's not the terror of darkness, of Hades. I don't have time. The book of Songs of Solomon is broken into 9 parts. The first part talks about our call. The God of heaven calls us to participate in his inner chamber, his bedroom. And if you have studied the temple, we have outer court, which is the body, inner court, which is the soul. His bedroom is in the spirit. So he calls us into the corridor of our spirit so that we can have communion with him. That's the first part. Hallelujah. The second part is that on the strength of our communion with him, you begin to see things that are obstacles to that communion, and you have to make a choice that I prefer this communion than this one. Second point. The third point, all these things are requirements of love. Are you still here? Okay. The third point is that you begin the flesh. You decide to lay down the flesh for destruction so that you can still maintain the communion. That's when it becomes hard. That's when it becomes unreasonable. It's not logical. It's only, I could have formulated a word, but it's not logical, it's heartical. Heart. Is do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not logical for you to surrender the flesh. It's heartical. So another level of choices are made at that point where you are reaching out to God at a cost. You are experiencing persecution, but you are still reaching out. It doesn't make sense. When somebody looks at you, you say, "This is a useless man," because it doesn't make logical sense. It only makes what? Heartical sense. So it shows us 9 commitments that we are going to have to show that in order to make that pass of love, to maintain the sweetness of that communion. What makes us indebted to God is that we have tasted of his love. those suicide bombers, 9/11, they knew they are going to hell, but they were not afraid of death. So you are threatening somebody with hell, and you are expecting him to be holy. That's why they do fornication by the side. Because threat has never been the reason for commitment to God. It's not part of the creed, but it became a doctrine. How did he evolve to become? Are you seeing that? That's why that holiness is fake. Meanwhile, that was the template for many years. It's not as if God did not know. But at that point, we were not matured enough for it to be a case. Do you understand? Then when maturity, you know, when we begin to mature, God expects that we should put away childish things. Why I will still be in Christ tomorrow, very zealous following him? I know I've touched his love. Someone that went all the way to the cross, do you know what it means? And he did that as a man, not as... He did that with this frame of reference. He was... Mortality was... He was God mixed with man. I hope you know, when he took on this frame of reference, he was no longer omnipotent. He was no longer omniscient. It was only what the Holy Ghost revealed to him that he knew. So he was very, very ignorant. And I can assure you, he did not know if he will, his sacrifice will be accepted. Because it was not him that will judge that one, it's the Father. It was a risk for him to have died. But he died all the same, not knowing the outcome. It was you he had in mind. It took 3 days before the impact of his work would be verified in the council of heaven. 3 days of darkness. 3 days that you may never imagine what he went through. Have you touched that law? If you touch it, it will swallow you. It's bigger than your BSc, the certificate. Jesus. It's in response to that love that you live for him, not the threat of hell. But you see, that doctrine became a prime doctrine of compliance in Nigeria. It was an error. Why we celebrate all the good things that came with that stream? That one. We reject it. Do you understand my... Tomorrow, if you find out that some things I've told you is wrong, celebrate the good things you receive. Keep the wrong one. Because none of us is infallible. Only God is. And I should not be perturbed that I'm not God. I made a mistake. That's what men do. It's only God that doesn't make mistakes. And I tell you the truth. If I find out that what I told you is wrong, I will come back the next contact and say, according to the law of the Lord. Correct myself. This thing is bigger than me. So why should I be ashamed to say the truth? I've done it before, just in case you are asking. I've done it before. Instead of me being ashamed, God came in the night and promoted me. He said, you will be given more powers of truth. Many of us are running on programs that are errors. And we'll have to go back. Discernment will show us the difference between an error and... You see, I wanted to go into this grace thing, but I'm not reaching there. So let me stop here. The journey is not ending. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I've done it before. Made a mistake. What mistake did I make? I said that Abraham was a type of God the Father, which is accurate. I said Isaac was a type of God the Son. You know that is accurate. But I now use mathematics to think that Jacob was a type of God the Holy Ghost, which is wrong. Jacob is a type of the natural man, the carnal man. It is Eliezer of Damascus that is a prototype of the Holy Ghost. But I made that mistake because I thought it was, since A followed B followed, then it must be equal to. So I came back, I said, I went ahead of myself yesterday. And I straightened it out. In the night, God said, I will commit more truth to you. If everybody can be sincere like that, you say we should not use television. Then you now started doing cable. And there was no point that you made a broadcast and say, I found out I was wrong. Till today, there's still contention as to whether they should use television. Oh. Wait, may the Lord give you understanding. The Bible said, test all things and hold on to that which is good. Yes. It means that you must apply discernment on every subject. No matter how it looks as if it is God, don't think it's a waste of time testing. Even this my own, test it. Because the Berean Christians went home and they checked. Go and check. If our basis of evaluation is this word of God, then I don't have any problem with you. Go and check. So the gift of discernment of spirit differentiates, distinguishes between error and truth, between good and evil. Oh my. I would have loved to talk about this. Between what? Good and evil. Because, you see, we are dealing with Satan. Satan will not tell you something is evil. I hope you know. No. He will tell you the thing is good. That tree that is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eh? That tree was offering a good that was not God. You are not with me? Actually, the true name of that tree is the tree of death. That's the name. But it was modified. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. He was offering a good that was not part of God. Meanwhile, God is a reference for all good. I hope you know there's a preacher that came, a very big preacher, that said, if it is good, then it is. I hope you know it's not biblical. It's from that statement, is only true in Satanism. You see, you are laughing. You are just laughing. You have not gone far in study. Don't know what Buddhism teaches. You don't know what Islam teaches. That's why you just smiled. Those statements are reckless. Those statements cannot be innocent. Can't be innocent. You see, if it's good, then it is God. That means you are being advised to accept the tree of knowledge of good, because there was a good in that tree. Meanwhile, that good was not God. Have you ever heard that one preacher that say you cannot argue with proofs? You are denying now. Nothing will happen to you. We are fighting for the destiny of the gospel. Are you aware that when Moses was told to speak to the rock, Moses struck the rock and water came out? There was proof. Friends, you can argue with proof. It's because you did not grow up in the village. My ancestors had proof. If that's what you are talking about. But their proof did not come from God. But we swallowed up things without checking. Because discernment has been thrown out of the window. So anything goes. Even TB Joshua too is a pastor today. He's a pastor. Because basic discernment is no longer available in the body. May the Lord grant us understanding. We threw discernment out of the door. Anything that shines, that wears a suit, that is on white, is from God. No, the true church is rising again. The apostles and the company of prophets, their numbers are being replenished. There is a government from heaven that will begin to speak in the days in which we live. And that which was established without the help of God will be caught with fire. As a young man, before you run into ministry now, sit down, calm down. It's a transition period. The shape of what God is doing has not matured. Calm down first. Don't be in a hurry. In the next 2 years, the next 3 years, the things you celebrate, God will judge it. I don't want to say it's not for this. It's not for this time. We went to pray and we came back with insight that God showed us. Scary insight. We had to adjust ourselves. You know, when God fights, He doesn't take sides with people. He takes sides with His will. None of us is superior. It's we. Many preachers, many general overseers, we die before the December. Just watch it. That statement was not supposed to be for this floor, for this forum. But the Lord will give us understanding. It differentiates between good and evil, between reality and counterfeit. You know, one guy came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what shall we do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" What was Jesus' response? Because the guy was calling Jesus good without acknowledging that he was God. Meanwhile, Jesus' goodness came out of the fact that he was God. And Jesus rejected that goodness that the man called him without acknowledging that he's God. Don't call me good if you don't acknowledge that I am God. You know the scripture?
Yes.
I am not God because I'm good, but I'm good because I'm God. We have to know the difference between good and God. We have to know the difference between true and truth. We have to know the difference between reality and counterfeit, between divine and demonic, between true and false, between spiritual and carnal. It is the gift of discernment of spirit that gives us this capacity. We have been running on counterfeits, on duplicates for many years. A lot of good mixed with evil. A lot of demonic mixed with divine. A lot of reality and counterfeit. And just in case the person that made the statement has a congregation of 12,000, it means the thing has passed. The other day when I was teaching, a preacher came to me with spectacles. What's the size of a congregation? So he wants to know the size of my congregation before he believes what I'm saying. Instead of him to check my spirit, whether the authority I carry is from heaven. You see, our scale of measurement is wrong. I don't desire a big congregation, actually. Because that's where you have mismultitude. Jesus raised 12 people, and Christianity today came from the labors of 12 men. Me, I want to be that pastor that will raise 12 people. And when you bury me, Satan, his case has been concluded. Meanwhile, God has no problem with crowd, because the Bible says in the multitude of people is the king's honor. So we will not stop doing God's work, whether the people are few or the people are many. Because the Bible says God has no restraint, either to win with few or to conquer with many. Anyone works for him. The guy, he came to us. May the Lord give us understanding. In the name of Jesus. It's the ability to discern spirits. It is given to know what kind of a spirit is in oppression in a person at a given situation, in order to avert deception. That's number 7. Number 8, it gives the ability to see the presence of activities of a spirit that motivates a human being, whether good or bad. 9, it helps to know the motive of people. 10, it can bring security against false doctrine and false ministers. That's where we ended yesterday. 11, it purges the church from dishonest and false activities. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 23. The case of Ananias and Sapphira. It was the gift of discernment of spirit that supported that false activity. 11, it exposes demonic activities and forestalls occultic invasion of the church. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. In the 80s, there was this woman, name with her, in the 80s, in a particular Holy Ghost rally, all right? The power of God hit her, and then she confessed that she was an narcotic, but she was masquerading as a prophet. So they prayed for her, the senior ministers prayed for her. Last 3 years, she began a movement that people that were still alive, that were there in the 80s, saw the same thing she was doing. Again, and she called it prophetic revival, and it's invading the U.S. seriously. The same person, not the daughter, the same person. The gift of discernment of spirit exposes demonic activities and forestalls occultic invasion of the church. There is a plan from the devil to invade the church with occultic practices that unknowingly will be practitioners of occultism, witchcraft, sorcery. Have you heard of the Ouija board? The Ouija board. There are some seminaries in US today that teach upcoming ministers how to use the Ouija board seminary. That's magic. So instead of them to come and say you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll say you need counseling. They introduce you to the use of the board. That is necromancy. First level necromancy. There are many attempts God had made at breaking out in a revival in different cities, in different places. It was the invasion of the occultic that shut it down. And that's why the gift of discernment of spirit must return to the church again. Can we ask God, release the gift of discernment of spirit to the church again? Release that gift. Can you cry to him? We need that gift now. Whisper to him where you are seated. Whisper. Whisper. That time has come where God, who started his church the way he wanted it, now wants his church the way he started it. That God should kindle the flame of discernment on your life. The devil will come to reap from every false doctrine that we have allowed in the body of Christ. He will make demonic prophecies out of them and make demands on the body of Christ. Ask him for that gift. The Bible says, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. The Bible says, test all spirits. The Bible says that the believers in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they sat the scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul said were so. Yeah.